countrywide on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by the Irish Farmers Journal. Get Irish Country Living, your magazine for rural Ireland, every week inside the Irish Farmers Journal.
Now, last year, around 13 billion euro worth of food and drink produced in Ireland was exported across the globe. For example, over 80% of the beef and dairy products produced on Irish farms is consumed abroad. Strategy 2030 is the title of a blueprint mapping the future direction of food production from farm to fork. A committee was established early last year, which includes many stakeholders involved in farming and food production, although the environmental pillar, which was part of the committee, withdrew earlier this year. Nevertheless, a draft copy of the Agri Strategy's proposals has been published and is now open to public consultation until the middle of next month. The chairman of the Strategy 2030 committee is Tom Arnold, and he's here with me in studio. But first, I've been getting reaction to the draft report. Sive O'Neill is the policy coordinator of Stop Climate Chaos Coalition, whom we will hear from presently. But first, here's Tim Cullinan, president of the Irish Farmers Association.
This strategy is all around sustainable food production, and you know, we all strive to do that, Damien. And if you look at the three pillars of that stool, you have economic, social and environmental. And what I critically have to see coming out of this is that it is economical for farmers to produce food, and farmers have to be able to get a margin out of this. If we look at it at the moment, the share of the food chain value that farmers are getting has decreased from 20% in 2008 to approximately 18% now. And you know, that's not good enough, because farmers are out there doing the work, doing a lot of environmental good, and they have to get paid for that.
Well, we're quite disappointed with it. It's an industry-led process that we see as designed to continue with a business-as-usual model with very little deviation from the previous strategies, which have let us down in terms of their environmental impact. We feel that environmental and climate interests and also expertise were largely excluded or sidelined in the pursuit of this model, which is based on intensive farming and exports. So the focus is on production efficiency and maximising those, but it doesn't properly recognise catchment, biodiversity and climate constraints. It does propose a methane cut, but this is insufficient.
The money that farmers have been obtaining from Brussels for producing cheap food over a long number of years has been eroded, and that money now is being used for environmental good, which we have no problem with environmental good, but there has to be more compensation and there has to be more funding made available for farmers to comply with what we're looking at Ag Strategy 2030 and what's coming down the road in Climate Action Bill as well.
Well, the most important thing is that we need a new roadmap for agriculture and food that's aligned with our climate, air, water and biodiversity commitments. And these are kind of inescapable, legally binding commitments. We also want to see a just transition model to help farmers in adapting and also diversifying. And that's going to require change in approach at a sectoral level and also at a farm and a catchment-based level. And we see the role of the Climate and Agricultural Policy here as very important. It's going to be critical to support more food security and localised food production here in Ireland, instead of just promoting cheaper exports.
Dairy farmers are working along the advice that they're receiving from Chagas, our state body. You know what I mean? We have the MAC curve. We're looking at different methods of farming with the way organic fertilizer applied to the lands with the low emission slurry spreading, which is a decrease in ammonia, looking at the fertilizer that has been used as well, the volume of fertilizer being put on lands, obviously getting more efficient use out of that. And I think working with that MAC curve, and I think we can achieve the reductions that we need to do without looking at the herd. Because look, dairy farmers in particular have invested well in excess of 2 billion over the last number of years since the abolition of quotas, along with what has been invested by the co-ops as well. So that's a substantial business, and that business has to be protected into the future. And you know, it's critical that we keep farmers alive in rural Ireland. Every town and village in the country is gaining from what farmers have been doing, and you know, government needs to remember that as well.
The contribution of beef and dairy cows to greenhouse gas pollution is not the same. Dairy cows emit about 2.5 times more methane. So you can't grow the dairy herd without major reductions in the beef herd. For every extra dairy cow you add to the herd, you need to take out 2.5 beef cows. So we need to have an honest conversation about the trade-offs here, because if we protect the dairy herd, and you know, abandon the beef sector. That's going to deal with the climate problem, perhaps, but it won't deal with our water quality and biodiversity problems in the south and southeast of Ireland. So we need to see a modelling exercise carried out that will tell us the optimum number of cattle that meets all of those climate constraints and also the water, air quality and biodiversity constraints. So I think looking to the future, we're going to see a more diversified agricultural sector, less dependence on livestock overall, more horticulture, more tillage, more localised food production with an emphasis on premium, organic and low input products, more agroforestry and more forestry, because that is a key part of the land use debate.
That was Sy Vaneel of the Stop Climate Chaos Coalition, and before that, Tim Cullinan, President of the IFA. And joining me now in studio is Tom Arnold, who is the Chairman of the Agri-Strategy 2030 Committee and who's been with us before. Tom, good morning. Good to have you back.
Thank you, man.
Could you explain to listeners why this strategy is so important?
It's so important because the world we're moving into over the next decade is very different than the world of the past. We've had five of these strategies since 2000. They've all been of their time, if you like. But this one is, you know, we set out with a different set of both national and global priorities that have to be met. So the terms of reference we were given was to come up with a vision for 2030, which had the agri-food sector delivering on sustainability in its three dimensions: economic, environmental and social, and to come up with the policies that would get us there. So that was, you know, our central purpose. I think we've delivered on that central purpose. And the way we went about it was at our very first working meeting in January of last year, we agreed to adopt what's called a food systems approach, which said we would, at the beginning, we would recognise that policies for food, the environment and health had to be fully recognised and interconnected. And we would also recognise that it was the whole of the sector that had a responsibility towards developing a sustainable food system, from the input supplier to the farmer, to the processor, to the retailer, to the citizen and to the consumer. And the message which kept coming through as we were doing our work from the whole wider sector was that sustainability is now what the citizen and the consumer wants, both domestically here in Ireland and internationally. And we had to produce a strategy which met that basic requirement. Well, and that, I think, is what we've done.
Yeah, and the various strategies over the last 20 years, though, they've seen an exponential increase in exports abroad and new markets discovered all over the world for Irish food and produce. I presume that's also part of the aim over the next 10 years, to consolidate those markets and find new markets. But if you're increasing output, does it not fly in the face of all of the environmental requirements that are needed over the next 10 years to be met in agriculture?
Well, first of all, I think we're at a stage where we're not going to be increasing output at anything like the same level as we have done in the past. That's a basic issue. But we have legitimately developed and done it very well, export markets in many countries. And the demand for the type of food that Ireland is producing, safe, environmentally sustainable food, the demand for that is growing. And I think Ireland can meet that demand, indeed, well, over the next number of years.
So the demand for dairy and beef protein is growing, you're saying, globally?
Of course it's growing. It's growing because in the next up to 2030, world population is going to increase by about 2 billion. And a lot of those people are going to become better off and are looking to have better diets. And part of those better diets is indeed more production, more consumption of animal protein. And we acknowledge in our strategy that in the developed parts of the world, there is indeed a case for reduction in meat, particularly processed meats, in the interest of health. But in about the two-thirds of the world's population, which are growing, which are becoming more prosperous, there is a demand for more animal protein products, safely produced, environmentally produced,
yes,
and indeed necessary for the improved nutrition of these people in developing countries.
Okay, so isn't that at the crux of this argument in relation to carbon leakage, where on the one hand, if demand is increasing globally for beef and dairy, the argument is made from farmers that, well, we do it sufficiently, we do it in an environmentally friendly sort of manner. And then the environmental argument is that that's a vexatious argument to say that just because we are doing it in a more environmentally sustainable manner, that if we don't produce that food, it'll be produced elsewhere. Isn't that the crux of the discussion going forward about where we go with dairy and beef production?
It's to some extent has the crux, but to some extent this is a theoretical argument. If the world were to be rational and say, you know, we can look at the whole carbon, global carbon budget, then the carbon leakage issue comes into play. But the reality is that that's not how the world is currently organised. And how the world is currently organised is that there are clear targets, environmental targets, both in Europe and in Ireland, which now have to be met. And that's what we set out clearly in the strategy. We are saying that, and everybody around the table accepted that environmental sustainability had to be a core part of the vision for the future, but aligned with a balanced view with both economic and social environment, social sustainability. And that's what we've done. I think we've put together both a coherent and an ambitious strategy, which, if it's delivered upon over the next decade, is going to meet the needs of the Irish people and also position Ireland as a real leader in the whole area of sustainable food systems. And that's particularly important given that, you know, in September of this year, we are going to have a food system summit in New York, summoned by the UN Secretary General, which I think is going to get a great deal of attention and which Ireland is in a good position to make a really substantial contribution at.
Is your report, is it somewhat damaged by the fact that the environmental pillar did leave the committee?
We were very disappointed that the pillar left the committee. Their representative, Karen Chilskelsky, had made a really important contribution over the period from January of last year until they decided to leave in February of this year. But I think the lessons, Karen had made her point, but everybody around the table, I think, was conscious, including the farm organisation, was conscious of the importance of the environment for this strategy. And if I could just maybe quote the first paragraph in our executive summary, which I think sets it out well. It says, this strategy recognises that there needs to be a profound shift towards more sustainable policies and actions nationally and internationally. The Dáil has declared a climate and biodiversity emergency. Decisive action is required to implement the legislative arrangements to act on this. The world needs to get back on track to meet the commitments of the Sustainable Development Goals, the Paris Climate Agreement and the Global Convention on Biodiversity, and move towards more sustainable land use, production and consumption practices. Now, that's the basis on which our strategy is built.
But as we heard Simon Neill say there, the interests and expertise were largely sidelined of the environmental pillar.
I don't believe that's correct. We had indeed a substantial other environmental voices. We had, for example, Professor Frank Convery, who's an internationally recognised environmental scientist. And we have other people who are not, if you like, labelled environmentalists, but who have environmentalists on board. So I think all of that fed into what is there. And I think there's a very strong section in the document about what needs to be done to achieve environmental sustainability. But it is side by side with a strong chapter on what needs to be achieved to attain an economic environmental sustainability and also social sustainability. And just this week, we had the National Competitiveness Council talking about, you know, the change that we as a society are going to have to make in terms of work practices, etc., etc. So real opportunities, I think, for regional and rural Ireland. So I think what we have put together is a balanced approach towards the future. And I think, as I said, we want it debated. It has been debated through a series of some very interesting national food dialogues. And what was said in those dialogues, and indeed a very useful additional document from the environmental pillar, which they published after we published our report, all of that will be taken into account as we work towards finalising the strategy from mid-June onwards.
And can listeners listening now, can they have their input?
Very much so. I mean, that's the whole point of the public consultation approach. I mean, I have to say that I've been very disappointed over the last few months about the tone and the quality of the both political and public debate about these matters. Because I think what it doesn't recognise is the considerable level of common ground that there is between the two sides of this debate.
And that's it's really bitter.
And it has got to a point where it's completely unnecessarily divisive. And I think we need to get to the point where we need to find that common ground and build on it rather than narrow it down. And that's the basis we took in our strategy, because what we have done is set out a set of measures which, if implemented, will show that it's the agri-food sector has a crucially important role in addressing the climate and biodiversity challenge that we face, and they have to be brought on board to do this.
Okay, and indeed everybody working together, as some people more in the more moderate middle are actually saying online. Tom, thank you very much for coming in to studio, and as I said, and I often say when we discuss this, it's a subject we will come back to and discuss and debate as things move on, but that public consultation is open until the 15th of June.